This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, our video feed, YouTube, 94WIP. Check it out there. Ton of video content going up, and obviously a very, very busy time in Philadelphia sports. Phillies on the West Coast, tough loss last night, although the Braves lost as well. So no team yet has reached the 20-win mark. Phillies could join or be the first team, along with the, let's say the Yankees and the Braves and the Dodgers all around 19 could get there tonight. And, of course, you know, the Sixers trying to avoid elimination tonight in New York. But as I continue my thought process on the NFL draft and what the Eagles did, their class, talked about the winners and losers yesterday on the pod with Quinyon Mitchell arriving and Cooper DeJean in the first two picks remaking a secondary that needed to be remade. I think a lot of us really like what the Eagles did in the draft, especially the first two picks. After that, you know, it becomes a little more of a crapshoot. But I like what they did with the first two picks, and I'm excited to watch Mitchell and DeJean for years to come. But now is a really interesting point in the NFL calendar where I think you can kind of successfully, to an extent, but feel like with some conviction, look at the offseason as a whole. And it's not over yet. You know, there's still rumors out there that, you know, a team like San Francisco could make a move and maybe trade away one of their wide receivers. But as of now, the heavy lifting of the offseason is in the books. It's over, right? Teams have decided what they are. They went through free agency. We had the first, second, third wave of free agency. We had the NFL draft. Teams are what they are now, aside from a few moves. You might get one trade that shakes things up between now and the start of the season. You may get a couple cuts, and, you know, teams could still add. You know, let's say, you know, 2 years ago at this time, Bradbury gets cut by the Giants. The Eagles pick him up, and he's an all-pro on the way to a Super Bowl berth. So, like, there's still those kind of moves. And obviously, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson traded for in August of that year. But for the most part, teams are solidified right now. So I thought it'd be a fun time to do an NFC power rankings. Post-draft, post-free agency, NFC power rankings, where I have the Philadelphia Eagles and where I have everyone in the NFC. Let's roll through it. We'll go from the top all the way to the bottom. And we'll see where the Eagles slotted. Number one, the San Francisco 49ers. I understand how difficult it will be for them coming off a Super Bowl loss. We know no NFC Super Bowl loser has got back in a very long time. It'll be very challenging for the 49ers. They do have the best roster. They do have the best and most efficient offense in the conference. They have a brilliant play caller in Kyle Shanahan. They're a machine. And if Brock Purdy stays healthy, they will be a very, very good football team. They are number one. Now, do they have a trade coming here? Do they have something big on the horizon? Are they going to move off of Ayuk or Samuel with the addition of Ricky Pershall in the first round? Maybe. If they don't, they just added a weapon and kind of have one more cheap year of Purdy, and this feels like they're all in season. So we'll see what the Niners do, but I do still believe they're the number one team on paper in the conference. Number two, and I thought about putting them number one, the Detroit Lions. I continue to love how Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell have built this football team. I think they had a good offseason, not super splashy, but a good offseason where they add depth pieces. They fill in holes at defensive tackle. They get a couple of corners in the draft, and they trade for one in free agency. So they shored up that secondary. The safety position is on lockdown. with what they established last year. I still think they're probably a pass rusher away from being a team that can go win the Super Bowl. And I have my eyes on the Hutchinson situation with the Bengals. I think that would be a good fit for the Detroit Lions. It feels like they are missing their Bradbury move or their Chauncey Gardner-Johnson move. You know, if we're looking at like the Eagles 2 years ago, they're really good. I am at number two. They bring back the same coaching staff. They bring back the same offense. Gibbs in year two, Laporta in year two. They re-sign Amon-Ra. They re-sign Penei Sewell. They are poised to be a great football team off of the leap they took last year. Number three, the Green Bay Packers. I believe, and I said this on draft night, the NFC North is going to be the best division in football. I know people will push back and say it's the AFC North. We'll see. We'll see a lot of quarterback questions in the AFC North with whatever the heck the Steelers are doing with Wilson and Fields and whatever Deshaun Watson is at this point. Joe Burrow's got to show he could be healthy for a full season. So I have a lot of quarterback questions in the AFC North. I believe the best division of football this year will be the NFC North because of the combination of coaching, infrastructure, young quarterbacks, just quarterbacks across the board are really good in this division. And the Green Bay Packers, what they did in the second half, I believe it will carry over. I think a great race this year is going to be between Green Bay and Detroit for not only the division and what comes with that, but the number one seed. I believe the winner of the North will be the one or two seed in the NFC, and then the loser or the second place team, in this case I have it as Green Bay, will be the five seed and have to go on the road the entire time in the playoffs. It's a big difference. You know, we've seen Eagles, Cowboys have years like this in the past where they go back and forth, and so much is on the line between these teams and between all this. And so I have Green Bay at number three. I think the ascension of Love in the second half of the year was clearly on point. And he's for real. And I think that offense, which was one of the youngest offenses to ever make the postseason, adds Josh Jacobs, will just get better, added an offensive lineman in the draft, added a safety in the draft. I mean, they did a lot of good things here. You add McKinney to what they drafted with the Georgia safety, a new defensive coordinator from Boston College that's kind of going to play positionless football, drafting Edgerrin Cooper. I thought Green Bay had a really good offseason here to add to what they did. I have them neck and neck with Detroit as the second best team in the NFC, and it's going to be a fun, you know, I mentioned Eagles, Cowboys, also Niners, Rams in recent years. We've seen those teams jockey for position for the division and a top seed. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if we get, you know, Green Bay and Detroit in the postseason. It's an NFC championship kind of game. Green Bay is my number three. My number four is the Dallas Cowboys. And I thought about dropping them further. They've had a really tough offseason, very minimal impact, very minimal additions. But they're coming from a pretty high floor. I mean, they got a pretty high base. They win 12 games a year. So are they about to take a little step back? I do think they are. But, you know, I'm going to trust the coach and the quarterback and the pass rusher and the wide receiver. They're probably going to win 9 or 10 games just by accident because that's what the Cowboys have done for years now. I had them at number four, but they're obviously trending in a wrong direction. Number five, the Philadelphia Eagles. I thought about putting them over four. I just have more question marks with what I'm getting out of the quarterback than I do with the quarterback of the Cowboys. I feel like I know what I'm getting out of Dak Prescott. I don't know what I'm getting out of Jalen Hurts. And that could be good or bad. I mean, you know, he could go back to playing like he did in the MVP year, MVP caliber year in 2020, too. Or he could play like he did last year, and all the good things the Eagles have tried to do this offseason could go backwards. So I'm putting the Eagles at five. They have certainly added some big names this offseason and certainly changed around their team. They didn't keep things status quo. The coaching change is, I think, should be good. But I think it will take some time to coalesce. I don't think it's going to be, you know, it's just going to go like, boom, overnight, where the Eagles are playing their best football. I think it's going to take some time. I'm very curious to see, number one, how quickly the rookies, the first and second round pick again on the field, can they play at a high level early? Can they play early? Would the Eagles trade away some veterans in the secondary to give themselves more of a shot to play those young guys? Could we see something like that? That I'm very interested in. And I'm also very interested in, and I can't wait for the schedule to come out. I mean, for a lot of reasons. I can't wait for the schedule to come out next week. I think it's next week for the league because I can't wait to see who the Eagles have early in their schedule. We know they're going to play Green Bay in Brazil. Very challenging game for the Philadelphia Eagles. But does the NFL schedule makers give them a soft landing after that in, let's say, the month of September? Will they get their game against the Carolina Panthers in the month of September while they still try to figure out their new offense and new defense? That's a big thing. Are the young players on defense ready to roll? Or is this going to be a thing where they're better in December than they are in September under Vic Fangio? And maybe we look at them as a dangerous team, but not a dominant team all year, where we get to, you know, December and it's like, oh, you know, the Eagles have a shot. If they make the playoffs, they'll be dangerous. One of those kind of years, one of those kind of teams. Number five in the NFC, the Philadelphia Eagles. Number six, I have the Los Angeles Rams. There's no, I think Eagles and Rams are good to be put in these five, six spots because there's no understating how big the loss of their Hall of Famers are. The Eagles lose Jason Kelce. The Rams lose Aaron Donald. I think the Rams did a good job, you know, try to solidify that with the two defensive linemen they took from Florida State. I mean, they got a good team. Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp. They added offensive linemen to free agency. They drafted in a running back at Blake Corum. I like what the Rams did this offseason, but they lost Aaron Donald. We can't sugarcoat that. It's hard to say they're better. A lot of people will assume the Rams are going to take another leap. We'll see. I do think their quarterback at his age with injuries is a question mark for a full season. If you tell me right now if Stafford plays 17 healthy games, they're a playoff team. I'm not sure if I'm going to bank on that right now. Number seven in the NFC, the Atlanta Falcons. Maybe with a different draft, they'd be higher for this particular year because they could have added the best pass rush in the draft, the best corner in the draft. They could have traded down. They could have done a lot of things with the number eight pick. They chose to use it on Michael Penix. I think it takes away from potentially their ceiling for 2024. It also could help them in 2024. I mean, there's no guarantee with Kirk Cousins. There's no guarantee he's going to come back from the Achilles well enough to play as well as he was before. And it's going to be it's going to be must-see TV to see what happens down there with the quotes every week and how Cousins is playing and what they're saying about Penix in practice. It's a beautiful disaster they've painted down there, but it gives them some long-term stability at the quarterback position with the Michael Penix pick. So I have them at seven. I thought they were the best roster in the NFC South last year. They just were held back by tremendously poor quarterback play and poor head coaching. Now they should have an upgraded head coach, and they should clearly have an upgraded quarterback play regardless of how Penix and Cousins sorts itself out. I have them at number seven, and I believe they're the best team in the NFC South. Number eight, the Chicago Bears. Really good offseason for them. They added, you know, multiple big-time wide receivers with Rome Odunze in the draft, Keenan Allen in the slot, and they'll add that to what they had with DJ Moore. They added Gerald Everett to back up Cole Kmet, two good tight ends. They got themselves DeAndre Swift in the running game. Offensive line, work in progress, but they did take a kid high last year. If it could be serviceable, they will be an above-average offense off the bat with Caleb Williams at quarterback. Above average, around the NFL, off the bat with Caleb Williams and these weapons. So they added there. Now on defense, they were a top five unit at the end last year. I don't know if that's going to happen again. We'll see. They added T.J. Edwards last year. They traded for Montez Sweat. Jalen Johnson, they re-signed. They got some good players. They're going to be a very trendy pick to be a playoff team. I think it's going to be a little bit challenging to expect that in this division, because I think this division is so good. Out of the two of the top three teams in the NFC in this division, they're clearly on the come. They're clearly ready to roll. And I think there's going to be a lot of optimism for the Chicago Bears. I see it. I think they're a playoff contender. My gut right now is they'll win about eight games, just miss the playoffs. And a year from now, they will be a legitimate team to watch out for if Caleb Williams continues to take a leap. Now, the one thing I don't love about them is the head coach. I would have reset. I would have reset with an offensive coach. They kept the defensive guy, Matt Eberflus. We'll see how long that lasts in Caleb Williams' career. But I do think the Chicago Bears are on the rise here. They're number eight in my NFC power rankings.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Number 9 and number 10 are going to surprise you guys. But I think both these teams had really good off seasons, had outstanding drafts, and are ready to be a lot better than you might think. Number nine, the Washington Commanders. I'm going to put it on the record right now. If the Eagles and Cowboys falter, if they take a step back, if this division is won, let's say this year, it's the race to 9-8 instead of the race for 12 wins, I believe the Commanders could be a factor in the NFC East this year. Jaden Daniels, as many running mobile quarterbacks do, could pop quickly. Think RG3, think Cam Newton, think Jalen Hurts, think Kyler Murray. It doesn't take the mobile quarterback who can kind of fall back on his legs and make plays and move the chains with his legs and have a higher floor. Does it take that player long to have some success in terms of wins and losses and making plays? Now, long term, you got to have both the arm and the legs to take it to the next level, like Jalen Hurts took it to the next level in 2022. But then 2021, Jalen Hurts, it wasn't perfect. He missed throws, but his legs moved the chain so much that the Eagles won football games. And I think Jaden Daniels is going to be a problem for as long as his legs are there with him. And we'll see. I mean, RG3 was 1 year. Jane Daniels is the fastest quarterback to come out, probably since Lamar, and maybe the closest thing to Lamar. I mean, Justin Fields is a very good runner. He always reminded me of Kaepernick. But I think Jaden Daniels is unique, and I think he's going to be a problem. He's got two good receivers. They have added to the offensive line in free agency. They brought in a lot of grown-ups and veterans in free agency, which I thought was interesting and the right way to go as they try to start a new program down there. Eckler and Bobby Wagner, they've drafted defensive backs in recent years. They still have some talent on that defensive line. I thought their draft, getting Newton in the second round from Illinois, was awesome. The tight end they got from Kansas State, if we have a Sam Laporta 2.0, if we have this year's Sam Laporta, I'm telling you right now, get on the fantasy train. Sinet from Kansas State could play. And I think he could be a really interesting rookie for them. I'm high on Washington. I think Dan Quinn gets too much flack for what he wasn't and not enough credit for what he is, which is a solid head coach that turned the Falcons into a good team. Is he a great head coach? No. Is he going to win a Super Bowl? Probably not. But I think there'll be a level of professionalism. There'll be a level of toughness. There will be a level of buttoned up. And if Jaden Daniels stays healthy and can run around, they're gonna beat some teams. I got the Commanders at number 9 in my power rankings. Number 10, another team on the rise. I would not be shocked if they are this year's Texans. Actually, the Commanders and this team both kind of fit the profile of last year's Texans, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're playoff contenders. Number 10, I have the Arizona Cardinals. I think Austin Forte, the GM, is sharp. I thought they nailed this draft with Marvin Harrison, Robinson, Melton, their first three picks, getting a running back who's going to help them a lot. They get a safety in the middle rounds that, you know, a little bit like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. They got some players here. They got a tight end to put next to McBride, who exploded last year. Now they could throw Harrison and McBride on the field at the same time and a second tight end. They're not where they're going to be in a year, the Cardinals, but I would say they're going to be a pretty good football team and a tough out. Now, a lot of why they were so bad early last year was new program, new coach, tore to the studs, right? But they competed. You watched them compete last year early. They beat the Dallas Cowboys. They competed against the Baltimore Ravens, who in the regular season were the best team in pro football. They competed last year, and then when Kyler Murray came back, they started to beat teams. They went to Pittsburgh and won. They came to Philadelphia and they won. They played very hard and ran the football very well on the San Francisco 49ers. You saw some things down the stretch. It's like, wait a second. There's something building here. Now, conceivably, you get Kyler back maybe 80%, 90% of what he used to be. You know, well off the injury now, with a full offseason in this offense in Arizona. I think Gannon's going to have them buttoned up week to week. And I would not be surprised if you put your TV on in late December and the In the Hunt graphic at 8-8 with a game to go, or 7-8 with two games to go, are the Arizona Cardinals. They will be one of my over bets. And I think they're going to be a surprise team. They're number 10 for me in the NFC right now, post-draft. Number 11, Minnesota Vikings. I think it's going to be assumed they're not going to be very good. They won a lot of football games last year with Flores' first year on the defense without any real young studs. And with Cousins missing, what, two-thirds of the season? So is J.J. McCarthy ready to be a star day one? Probably not. Probably not. They might even ease in 4 or 5 starts at Sam Darnold. But I think by the end of the year, the Vikings are going to be on the come. I like what they did with the Dallas Turner trade up to get him. And I think putting him in Flores' defense is going to create a double-digit sack guy. McConnell's a really good coach. Now they play in what I think, and I said, the toughest division in pro football, so they'll probably be the last place team. But 7-10 in last place, they're not a bad football team, and they won't be an easy team to beat late in the season. Number 12 in the NFC, Tampa Bay, blah offseason. Baker won't do it again, and they'll take a step back under Todd Bowles. It's fine. They're fine. I just think their upside is so small, and if they don't win the division, it's probably a 7 or 8 win football team kind of stuck in the middle. Number 13, a team in the NFC I have taken a major step back this year, and that's the Seattle Seahawks. I think they made a mistake not doing what they had to do to get up to get one of these quarterbacks. Looking ahead to next year's quarterback class, 2025, it already looks way worse than this one. There were rumors out there they wanted to go up and get a Michael Penix. They should have done it. They should have done what they had to do to move up this year, because I think their future is a little bit bleak here. You know, I think Mike McDonald's a sharp guy, but this is not an easy situation to walk into. I think that Geno Smith is, you know, that was a very special season 2 years ago. He couldn't replicate it. Last year, I didn't like the way they were in the trenches on either side down the stretch last season. I don't get good vibes from the Seahawks. I think it could be a very tough year for them. They are, in my view, the worst roster in the division by a decent amount. I think it's about a 6 or 7 win team, and I think they take a major step back. They're 13th in the NFC for me. Number 14, the New Orleans Saints. I did like what they did on the offensive line to try to shore that up. I'm just so out on Derek Carr and so out on the Saints. They are going the wrong way year in, year out. I can't believe they kept Dennis Allen. I just cannot believe it. I thought what happened that last game with the Jameis Winston thing and giving the touchdown to the running back was such a slap in Dennis Allen's face. Their defense, which was their calling card 4, 5, 6 years ago, has gotten worse by the year. The offense is just okay. Carr is not a winner. I don't see it here. I mean, because of the state of the division, they may get to 7 or 8 wins because they just get to play Carolina a couple times, and the lead team in the division has a quarterback controversy already, so they might stay in it, but ultimately finish with 7 wins. It's not a very good football team. Number 15, the New York Giants. They did not address quarterback, and now they have to run it back with an injury-prone Daniel Jones, Drew Lock behind him. What are the odds that Jones plays all 17 and plays at a high level? 1%? 5%? They play in a division that I think 3 teams are better than them. Now, the front's going to be good up front. I mean, defensively and offensively, they got a little more professional up front. Brian Burns is obviously a huge signing for them to go with Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence. There'll be a lot to handle up front. And I think offensively, on the offensive line, adding John Runyon gives them a little more professionalism. They're just a pop gun offense, though, with that quarterback. Now, Neighbors could play, and the Giants are the kind of team a year from now, if they get a quarterback, maybe the whole thing changes. But I just think they're stuck in a weird spot where they didn't address quarterback. They're going to be pretty poor at quarterback. They lost their best playmaker in Barkley. Their best playmaker now is a rookie who will probably be doubled and might get frustrated. And they're going to miss McKinney in the secondary. So I think they're in for a tough year. The coach is probably going to get fired, Dable, after the season. And for like the 4th or 5th time in the last decade and a half, the Giants will reset. And number 16, the Carolina Panthers. They are easily the worst team in the conference. They were last year. I do think they are going to be a little bit more of a pro team. I'll just put it that way. I don't know if Canales could coach, but I think he's got a bright mind to help quarterbacks, and I think he'll help Bryce Young reach maybe acceptable levels. Not good, not what you want, with what they traded to get him. Maybe more acceptable levels. I think it was interesting the way they added offense in free agency at guard, in the draft at receiver, at running back, at tight end. They're obviously trying to give this kid, they traded for Deontay Johnson, you know, from the Steelers. They're trying to give this kid enough so a year from now they know, is he a complete and total bust or not? And if he can't function by, let's say, Thanksgiving this year, and they can't move the football, then he's a complete and total bust. Because the additions on offense, because the head coach upgrade, just at least with the quarterback dynamic, and because the division they play in, they could get to 4 or 5 wins and won't be as horrific as they were last year. They'll be bad. They'll be in the running for the top pick. But they won't be an abject embarrassment week to week. They won't win 1 or 2 games. Either they'll get to 4 or 5 because of the division. But they're the worst team in the NFC. I actually think as I look at this and went through it, the NFC has a higher floor than it has in recent years. I don't think there's a team that is so god-awful they're going to win two or three games. The Panthers have improved off of that. The Giants at 15, that was a playoff team 2 years ago with a playoff quarterback. That's better than maybe other years you've seen 15 in a conference. And I just think that the middle there with teams like the Bears and the Commanders and the Cardinals, they all got better. They're getting better. So I mean, the top is very good. I think there's some teams like the Eagles, Cowboys, Rams that could go either way. And that middle is brimming to jump soon with the Bears, the Commanders, the Cardinals. Here's my NFC power rankings one last time. Right now, post-draft. 49ers 1, Lions 2, Packers 3, Cowboys 4, Eagles 5, Rams 6, Falcons 7, Bears 8, Commanders 9, Cardinals 10, Vikings 11, Buccaneers 12, Seahawks 13, Saints 14, Giants 15, Panthers 16. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following WIP Daily. We'll talk soon.